Turning your Bibles to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4. As I continue preaching through this Gospel, we come today to the parable of the sower. I'm going to read verses 1 through 20 because this is both the parable and the interpretation the Lord makes of it. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. And brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The events in our text this morning took place the same day on which the Lord dealt with the scribes about the unpardonable sin and the interruption of the Lord's mother and brothers in his teaching. After these things, the Lord went out to the seaside, the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and taught the people. The multitude there was so large that the Lord got into a boat and moved a little bit out from the shore while his hearers stood along the shore. The waters of Galilee were usually calm. It's not really a sea, it's a lake, and so there are no waves or breakers there. Ordinarily, it's a calm body of water. The water of the lake provided good acoustics for the Lord to be heard by the whole multitude. You think about how sound travels over water. And there he was sitting on the water preaching to this multitude. In verse 2 of this text, the term his doctrine means the Lord's teaching. A lot of people are afraid of the word doctrine. That word simply means teaching. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot have true doctrine, a true Christianity, without teaching, without doctrine. The Lord's doctrine was the doctrine of God. It was the doctrine of the grace of God. It was the doctrine of the gospel. Any preacher who does not preach this doctrine should not be received nor be bidden Godspeed. The Lord's method of teaching this multitude is seen in verse 2. And He taught them many things by parables and said unto them in His doctrine. Parables are figurative expressions which are usually interesting to the crowds, even though the crowds cannot understand their spiritual meaning. This fourth chapter of Mark records three of our Lord's parables. The Lord told this parable in verses 3 through 9. Then in verse 10, the Scripture speaks of when He was alone. And when He was alone, they that were about Him with the 12 asked Him of the parable. When the multitude was gone, and only the 12 and some other disciples were with Him, they asked Him about this parable. According to Matthew's account of this same parable, in Matthew 13:10, these disciples asked the Lord why He used parables in teaching this throng. And the disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? In verses 11 and 12, the Lord gave the reason that He spoke to this multitude in parables. Notice, and He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that see, or in other words, for this purpose, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Actually, this is a quote or a paraphrase of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But let's talk about this passage just right here for a moment. The mystery of the kingdom in verse 11 has reference to the secrets of the gospel, the doctrines of grace. The Lord says it was given to these disciples to know or to understand the mysteries of the gospel. What privileges we have as Christ's people. We have been given understanding of the great things of God in His Word. I wonder if we appreciate that as we should. But there are some people, and hold on to your seats. We're going to jump a creek here. There are some people whom the Lord does not want to understand the things of the kingdom of God. These people, the Lord refers to in verse 11 as them that are without or outside, meaning people who are not disciples of Christ. How tragic, how sad not to be allowed to understand the meaning of Christ's word. To you it is given, but not to them, the Lord says. The parable in our text is probably our Lord's best known parable. If you were to ask anyone to name some of the Lord's parables, this usually would be the first on the list. All three synoptic gospels record this parable. This parable is derived from agricultural or farming experience. The parable itself is related in verses 3 through 9, and the Lord's interpretation of the parable is given in verses 10 through 20. In verse 10, the Lord's disciples asked the Lord what this parable meant. And when He was alone, they that were about Him with the 12 asked Him of the parable. And the Lord answered them with the meaning of this parable in verses 13 through 20. Look at verse 13. And He said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? In other words, don't you know, He asked the disciples, what this parable means? Don't you understand this parable? It's so easy to understand because it's taken from everyday things that everyone observes. If you don't understand this one that is so clear and plain, How will you understand the many parables that I will use in the future, which will be more difficult? If we don't understand the plain truths of the gospel, how will we ever understand those things that are more difficult? This ought to lead us to pray and study in order to understand the things of God in His Word. When the Lord asks, how then will you know or understand? This implies that in understanding this parable, they would have a key to the other parables. This parable and its interpretation is, in a sense, a key to understanding the other of the Lord's parables. After gently rebuking His disciples here for their dullness, the Lord goes on to interpret the parable for them. The Lord Jesus begins the parable in verse 3 with the word hearken. And He concludes in verse 9 with, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Both hearken and hear mean take notice of and understand. This is how we are to approach the Word of God. We are to hearken. We are to take notice of and understand that Word. And even if we don't understand that Word, we must always give careful attention to it nevertheless. The Word of God, whether from Christ or from His preachers, always demands our attention. Look at verse 3 here. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And the sower here is Christ, who went out into Judea to preach the gospel and sow spiritual things among men. The sower is Christ Himself, and by extension, His preachers after Him. While He was here on earth, Christ Himself sowed. Now, He sends His preachers and sows through them. The seed is the Word, according to the Lord Jesus in Luke 8:11. Let's turn to that because that is Luke's account of this same parable. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 tells us what the seed is, what it represents. Luke 8:11. The Lord Jesus says here, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. As the sower sowed, as he preached the seed of God's Word, the Word of the Gospel was spread promiscuously. I mean, in this parable, it's not a tractor pulling one of those racks with the cans on the back and sticking the seeds in the ground. This is the sower with a bag by his side, and he dips his hand in and spreads it like this. He sows it promiscuously, and it falls all over the place, falls everywhere as he goes down the way there. He sows the gospel promiscuously. In this parable, the Lord Jesus tells us the various receptions the Word of God will be given when it is preached in this world. Not everyone's going to receive it alike. This parable's main focus is on four types of soil. Four different receptions that the seed of the preached Word will receive in this world. Four kinds of hearts into which the gospel will be introduced. And we shall look at these four as the body of this message today. The first is the heart that is like the wayside. Look at verses 4 and 15 here. Verse 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sowed in their hearts. Now the wayside here is the road. It's the path, the highway on which people walk. You know what happens to a path? Have you ever noticed that? You've lived in the country at all or been around or even in your backyard. You may have a place where your dog runs around the house all the time. There's a path there. after a while. And it gets hard. The ground is hard there and the grass won't grow there anymore. The wayside is the path where people walk. And this ground was hard. And it could not receive the seed. And thus the seed could not get started there. The wayside heart is the hard heart. The highway heart is unplowed. And thus the seed of the word does not sink in. The Lord Jesus is saying here that the hearts of some hearers of the gospel are like the highway or the path. They hear sermons, but they pay no attention to them. They have no real interest in the preaching. It's just words and names to them. While sitting in the church service, they're thinking about other things. They make no application of the preaching to themselves. The word goes in one ear and comes out the other. After church, they go away knowing no more than when they came. The fowls, or birds in this parable, represent Satan. The Lord says the fowls came. Satan and his agents come to church looking for what they can devour. You know, I think we've really been deceived into thinking that Satan's main area of operation is down at the club, down at the beer joint. Listen, Satan's main area of operation is in the church service. In the church, he and his agents come to church. They're here this morning looking for what they can devour. The devil notices the wayside hearers right away. And he gets busy with them. Satan is busy all the time among hard-hearted hearers. While these people are sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that's being sown in their hearts. He does this so that they cannot retain the Word in their memories, and they will lose it at once, and they'll never think of it again. I've seen this time and again. At some critical point in a sermon, someone will get up and move around. And when they do, people will be distracted for a moment, causing them to miss the point being made, and they will never think of that point again. This is why Satan goes to church where the word is preached, to stop any effective reception that God's word might find there. How many times have I seen people who stayed up late on Saturday night doze off at a critical point in the sermon and miss that point? I'm convinced that there are many professing Christians in whose lives Satan works like this. Sunday after Sunday, they go home from church with nothing because they let the devil snatch the word away from them. In this condition, if the Lord doesn't intervene, these people will die and be buried and be lost in hell forever. These are the wayside hearers, the hard-hearted hearers of the word. The second kind of heart into which the Word of God is sown, the Lord Jesus describes in verses 5 and 6 and 16 and 17. He describes them here as stony ground. The hearts of these people is like stony ground in a field. Look at verse 5. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. The seed had not much earth, the Lord says here. The picture here is of ground that was shallow. It was just a thin layer of dirt on top of a layer of bedrock. Seed sown here can only be received in a superficial way. There's not enough room for root, and so it will not produce any good or lasting fruit. The Lord says that the seed sprouted quickly here. Look at verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. There are lots of people who get excited about the word of God. These people are happy with the word of God as being the correct view of things. They make a sudden profession of faith. And oh, they're so enthusiastic about being Christians. But there is no powerful experience of that word in their lives. They're excited. They're happy. And they profess for a while. They're like those Jews who rejected, who rejoiced in John the Baptist's ministry for a while and then left him. Turn to John 5:35. We find some of these stony ground hearers here. John 5:35. The Lord Jesus is rebuking the Jews here. And he says, he, that is John the Baptist, was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. They didn't stick. King Herod, one of the most wicked men of which the Word of God tells us, heard John the Baptist gladly. But Mark 6:20 tells us that he did. He heard him gladly. But Herod died and went to hell. Let's turn to that. Mark 6 and verse 30. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. Mark 6:20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Lots of people hear like that. These people represented here as stony ground hearers like hearing sermons in which sin is denounced, grace is proclaimed, and Christ is exalted. They like that. Listen, I've had people tell me, "Brother, you really preach the word. You really stomp on sinners. That's what I like about you." You know what? Down the line, those people fall out a lot of times. These stony ground hearers are shallow. They get excited about things like that. But such preaching produces temporary impressions on them, but it has no deep and lasting effect. There's no real work of conversion in these people. They receive no lasting benefit from the Word. The Lord says in verse 5 that this ground had no depth of earth. If it had, the plant would not have sprung up so quickly. If it had had more depth of earth, it would have taken more time before a profession would have been made. These people here, and they have some understanding of the Word, but their hearts are not really changed by that Word because there's no root in them. In verse 6, the Lord goes on to say that the plant that sprouts like this withers. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. The sun came up and its heat bore down on this tender plant in the shallow ground, and the plant soon dried up and came to nothing. I have seen what I believe to have been such persons through the years. They professed faith in Christ, oftentimes in the excitement of some revival meeting. And they were on fire with excitement, but as soon as the pressure or criticism or suffering or persecution that comes with being a Christian came to them, these people abandoned their profession. They didn't want to be Christians anymore. It was too hard. When trials came, the professions of these folks wore off like footprints on the sand of the seashore when the waves come in. Have you ever done that? Have you ever walked along there and made your footprints and turned around and watched the waves come in? Or just stood there in your track and the wave came in? And it's even undermined out from under you. The wave takes it away. Those whose hearts are stony ground receive the word gladly, yet they fade away And this is because God's Word had no root in their hearts. The third type of soil into which the seed fell in this parable was growing thorns. Look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. These people come and they listen to the word preached, and their consciences are touched by the word sometimes. They admit that the word is right and that it's good. They believe in the word. They believe the word in the sense that they agree with it. They agree that it's true. And to a point, they even obey that word. But then thorns grow up in their lives. These thorns represent the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and other lusts. The cares of this world are the concerns of this world, such as work, business, making money, making investments, family obligations. Lust for other things could be hobbies, sports, recreation, things involved in the so-called pursuit of happiness. Those with this kind of heart are more concerned about the things of this life than with the spiritual and eternal things of God's Word. I have asked any number of professing Christians who continue to work on Sundays, why do you do it? And what about your soul? And these people have often responded with, well, I have to make a living, don't I? The problem of such people, their stumbling block is the world, which prevents the word from having its full effect on their soul. Their hearts belong not to Christ, but to the world. In verses 18 and 19, the Lord tells us what the thorns do to the word in such hearts. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The thorns choked out the plant. When it came up, they overcame it. They made it useless. In the lives of such professors, the Word of God is unfruitful. It is useless. It is unprofitable. The fourth kind of soil of which the Lord speaks in this parable is the good ground. Look at verse 8. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Now look at verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60 and some 100. The good ground is an heart made good by the grace of God. We know this because by nature there is none good, no, not one. The Word of God is preached to some in whose hearts, are prepared by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God to receive it. Grace makes the Word effectual to their souls. Such hearts receive the Word. What does that mean? They receive it as God's Word. They receive it into their hearts, not just into their heads, and they hold to that Word even in the toughest of times. These are people who truly receive Christ's Word into their hearts, truly believe it, and truly obey it. These people will experience visible repentance, visible faith in Christ, and visible holiness of life. These people will hate sin and love Christ and trust in Him and follow Him and obey Him. These hearers bring forth fruit, the kind of fruit that agrees with the gospel. They not only make an outward profession of the Word, they grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they produce to the end of their lives. The fruit What is the fruit? There's a lot of debate about this, especially among so-called fundamentalist Christians. What is the fruit produced in the life of the good ground hearer? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is produced in their lives. Turn to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tells us what the fruit which the Holy Spirit produces in a life is. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These people live holy lives, lives of humility and meekness and charity and patience and spiritual mindedness. The work of the Holy Spirit can be seen in their lives. Such fruit is what God expects and what He requires from those who receive the gospel. The Lord Jesus says here that sometimes the good ground will bring forth an hundredfold. It's interesting, there is a verse in Genesis 26:12. Let's just turn to that. That tells us how one year Isaac planted a crop and it brought forth a hundredfold. Genesis 26 and verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. Sometimes this good ground brings forth lesser amounts of fruit, some 30-fold and some 60. What is the Lord saying here? He's saying, I believe the Word produces more fruit in some and less in others, but some fruit in all. John Gill said in commentating on this verse that all these good ground hearers bring forth good fruit of the same quality, though not of the same quantity. In conclusion, then, there are in this world relatively few who have hearts that are good ground, that receive the Word and bring forth fruit. Of the many who hear and read and talk about the Word, there are few that receive it and bring forth the fruits of it, only one in four in the Lord's parable here. Now, I don't know that he's saying that's the ratio, but I do know he's saying there's a lot more who don't receive it than who do. Oh, how much of the precious seed of the Word of God is lost. Matthew Henry says here that, he says in commenting on this, there is coming a day when all lost sermons shall be accounted for. The fault for the small number who receive the seed of the Word of God into good ground is not in the Word. There's nothing wrong with the Word. The fault is in the hearts that are not prepared to receive that Word. To which class of hearers do you belong this morning? How do you receive Christ's Word? What kind of heart do you have? There's only one unmistakable mark of having the right kind of heart. It is bearing fruit. To be without fruit is to be on the road to hell. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this very searching parable that the Lord Jesus has given us in His Word. Now, Father, we pray that You would use it to search our hearts today. We pray that we would consider what kind of ground our hearts are. We pray for those who've never received the blessed gospel of the Word of God. We pray that by Your grace and the working of Your Holy Spirit, that their hearts would be receptive to the gospel, that they would trust in the Lord Jesus and be saved. And we pray that You would forgive us for not guarding our hearts as we sit under the preaching of the Word each week. Father, we pray that Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be glorified through this message and its reception today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.